you have your Bibles tonight, I want to talk to us about a church aflame. How many of you know that Jesus is coming back after a bride that is ready? He's not coming after somebody that's just playing church. He's not coming after somebody that just wants to jump into church on Sunday morning and you don't see him again for two or three Sunday mornings. He's not coming after those kind of people, church. He's coming after a person that is committed to Christ, a person that loves the Lord, and a person that is faithful to the house of God and to the things of God. After all, we are the body of Christ. After all, we are his hands extended in this last hour. And in every sense, he went back to be with the Father. He left us the work here to do, and he expects us to do it. And I sometimes, when I'm praying and I'm studying, I think, you know, Lord, this is getting real scary. Because we're going to stand and we're going to give an account. And can I tell you, on that day, you need to look for mama or dad or husband or wife or brother or sister or the pastor or some of the laity to be there to stand with you, because we're not going to have that. We're going to stand before him by ourselves and for ourselves. And we're going to give an account of all the things that we have done and all the things that we have not done for him. And hey, he's got a book up there. There's not going to be any arguing on that day, because he already knows what we've done and what we have not done. And after all, he's God. So we're going to give an answer to him for what we've done and what we have not done in the kingdom of God. Okay, so some folks say, well, you know, there's nothing I can do in the kingdom of God. Don't come tell me that, because I done been a pastor for 14 years and I know better. There's always something that we can do in the house of the Lord, if it's nothing but be a prayer warrior. And we need those. Lord knows we need prayer, good prayer warriors. And when we get older and we can't do a lot of things like we used to do in the church, we can become a good prayer warrior. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to stand and give an account. God's looking for a church that is on fire. You know, I don't believe with all of my heart that he's coming after a lukewarm, dead, dried up church. And you know what worries me? I guess you could say I don't like the word worry, but it just agitates me at times. Because when I look at the church world, sister, and I see the world outside, how that the things are happening in the world and all the things that's going on, and how that our world and our country has turned its back on God. And then we see the church as it's dead as 4 o'clock. When I believe that with all of my heart that God wants and expects his church to be a church on fire when he comes back. In this last day and hour, as things begin to get worse and grow worse and worse, people are going to begin to come into the house of God. What for? They're going to come to the church for help. And I'm going to tell you something, church. We don't need to have crumbs of yesteryear left over just to pass out to them. We need to have some fresh bread out of the oven to give to them when they come in the house of God. We need to be on fire so that we can help them spiritually, even if they come maybe for food and they come for help. That's the time that we can bless them with the word of God. And that's the time that, but if we're sitting dead in the house of God, we're not going to have anything to give to them. So God's looking for a church that is aflame and on fire. You know, he said in the first chapter of Acts, he said, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come up on you." Now, when we use the term being baptized in the scriptures, I'm going to read here in a little bit. It describes the work of the Holy Spirit of God. When we use the term filled, we are talking about being clothed and empowered. It describes the actual equipping that God gives us for the ministry when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The term pouring out of the Spirit, or receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit falling on us or up on us or coming up on us, are just different expressions of believers that are being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And here in the scripture tonight, the apostles and all of the believers are being freshly filled with the Holy Ghost of God to be able to withstand the continuing opposition of the Jews of their day. So the Spirit here visits this whole congregation that we're going to read about To fulfill God's will for the church, not only must individuals be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, but the entire congregation must be filled and have a repeated visitation of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it's one thing to call ourselves holiness, and it's another thing to call ourselves Pentecostal. We need to be a Pentecostal people. We need to be a Acts 2 and 4. We need to be that in the house of God. God's moving up on the entire congregation here, and as a result, the Bible says that in boldness, He has given them boldness and He's given them power to overcome Satan and to cause them to love one another. Do we ever need that in the house of God today? Can I tell you, as I told someone the other day when we were talking, if we don't love our brother whom we have seen, how can I stand in the house of God and say I love God? I can't do that. The Bible plainly tells me that if I don't love my brothers and sisters whom I have seen, how can I say that I love God whom I have not seen? So this is a steep thing that we need to pray about, we need to think about. But I'm going to go into the book of Acts tonight at the fourth chapter. And I want to go, though, first to the second chapter. It says, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all in one mind and in one accord. In other words, the Holy Ghost was bubbling over in the hearts and the minds of the people. When they were all in one mind and one accord in one place. 120 people. You say, that's not a whole lot of people, Sister Wilson. No, it wasn't. But can I tell you, when God gets in it, little is much when God is in it. And you're going to find that out. And suddenly it says, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. There was 120 flames of fire, in other words, that was kindled into that place in the upper room where they were that day. And they were all, the Bible said, they were all, say all with me, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave them the utterance. And so now you can go with me to my message tonight, to the fourth chapter of Acts, reading the 23rd through the 33rd verses. And being let go, they went their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. You understand? They were still all in one mind and one accord. Church, if we're ever going to get together, we better get in one mind and we better get in one accord, because God is watching. God looks down on every service that we have. And I believe sometimes, and I'm going to say this, I've said it before, and I say it again. I believe sometimes we're a stench in the nostrils of God when He looks down and we call ourselves Pentecostals, and yet you never see a move of God out of us. We're just satisfied to come in and sit down and hear the message and hear the singing and go home. Well, that's not what God wants. God wants us to come in the house of God, full of the Spirit of God. I can remember, sister, when I was just a young girl like these girls here, that I used to go to the Pentecostal church out at Staffordsville, Virginia, with my mama. That's where I was going when the Lord healed me when I was blind. And I can remember those folks, when they come in church, they come in shouting and dancing in the Spirit. And I want to know what's happened to us today. I want to know why that same Spirit is not moving among the saints of God today. Because I know that God doesn't change. I know God's Word doesn't change. So it's left up to you and I. We're the ones that have changed. And I tell you, I believe God wants us to get back to the old paths and walk in them as the light shines on our pathway. And this is the light that God has given us to walk on our pathway. Who by the mouth of the servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one another and one accord. Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, the disciples said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness, say boldness, with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and thy signs and wonders may be done by thy name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of the men that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great grace was upon them all. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious word of God tonight. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Thank you for your people that are in the house of the Lord tonight. They prove to me that they love you and that they are faithful people. God, I just ask you for the anointing now of the Holy Ghost of God, that it may rest upon your servant, that I might preach the word of God with boldness and without fear among man. God, just touch us tonight afresh, I pray in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for everything that you do. And the church said, amen. This church went from 120 members to 10 million members in one century. Can you believe that? That's what I said a while ago. It doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes dedicated people. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, there I'll be in the midst also. So when we gather in the name of the Lord, don't matter if we come here just to pray, don't matter if we come here to work and do something that needs to be done in the church, God is with us. He is satisfied with this. This church went from 120 members to 10 million in one century. They had very, very few things that we think is so necessary today. You see, we as a people of God today have been so blessed by God that there's so many things that we think we just got to have. They didn't have any of this. They didn't have good mics to preach on with. They had to talk loud and holler loud to the people sometimes in the crowds. They didn't have all the things that, the necessary things that you and I have today, or what we call necessary. We have a lot of things that we don't need today that we really can do without. They didn't have printing presses. They didn't have church buildings even to worship in. They gathered in the homes. They gathered wherever they could gather on the hillside. They didn't have all the luxuries that you and I have today. But can I tell you that my question to you and I are tonight, what did they have that we needed? I'll tell you what they had that we needed. We have everything that we don't need tonight. And what we really need, we really don't have. And that is the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God back in the house of God. Every time I think about this message, I think about David. And he is not even in my notes tonight. But I can't help, brother, but think about David when he wanted the Ark of the Covenant to be back in Jerusalem, because he recognized everywhere the Ark of the Covenant was that the people were being blessed. He moved it to Obed's house, and Obed became blessed because the Ark of the Covenant was there. The Ark of the Covenant represented the Holy Ghost of God. And David was not satisfied until he got the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. I would to God tonight that we had some people in the house of God that would not be satisfied until they see another move of God like we used to see. And this is what we need. This is what's missing in the house of God. I want us to look tonight, because these people were a praying people. They were a praying church. They were a church aflame, if I had a title for my message tonight. It was a church that prayed. This church was born in a 10-day prayer meeting, can I tell you? These people were in one mind and one accord for 10 solid days. I don't believe they talked about anything. I don't believe they talked about the chariot race or the ball game or whatever you and I might would talk about today. But the Bible says that they were all gathered there in one place and they were all in one mind and one accord. They were all thinking the same things. In other words, I believe that they were down on their knees and they were praying and interceding to God for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on them, that they can have power and anointing to be bold in the things that God had called them to do. And God had told them, Jesus had told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And this is exactly what they went for. They didn't go to gossip. They didn't go to talk about what was going on downtown. They gathered themselves together, hallelujah, and they wanted what Jesus said he would send back to them. I wonder tonight, how bad do we really want God to come down one more time and refill us and rebaptize us in the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about where we just speak a few words in tongues. I'm talking about where the fire of God falls, hallelujah, upon the whole congregation, where the people will know that they have had a visitation of the Holy Ghost of God. We need this church. We need it more than anything in this world. The Bible says they all continued with one mind and one accord in one place in prayer and in supplication with the women also, Mary and the mother of Jesus and all of the brethren, both men and women, praying all in one accord, all together. And this is why God filled them with the Spirit. When they began to pray, my friend, it caused the beholders to marvel. Healings and signs of wonders and wonders were taking place all over the place. I'm telling you, when they went out from that place, when they went out from the upper room, all kind of miracles and things was taking place. Everything was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And God was with them. Hallelujah. But I want you to know he was there to confirm his word with great power, with miracles and wonders, the Bible says. And I'm going to tell you something today. God has not changed, as I said earlier, but we've changed. Why do we not see God doing all the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the things like he used to do? Why do we see so many sick people sitting in the house of God in the churches today? It's simply because the church has gotten lazy. We don't want to pray. We don't want to spend time in prayer until it comes to one of us. Then we'll go to God. Until it comes to one of our family. Then we'll go to God. But the other guy and the other family that's got all these problems, we don't have time to stop and pray like we ought to and seek God for them. We need to see signs and wonders in the house of God again. We need to see some things going on. If you'll remember when Peter was put in jail, the Bible says they began to pray. They had already killed James. And they had put Peter in prison, and they were going to kill him after Easter. They were going to kill him. But all of a sudden, the Bible says that the people were in their houses praying. And all of a sudden, the Bible says one night that an angel of the Lord came by. And Peter, I could just see him, brother, all hunched up. He was bound up with chains, and he had 16 men guarding him, and the keepers of the gates was guarding the prison, and there was no way he could get out or get away. But all of a sudden, an angel of God, he heard the prayers of all these people over in this house that were having a constant prayer meeting in one mind, in one accord, praying for the safety of Peter, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, God said, I've got to recognize all of these prayers. I can't let all this praying go unanswered. I'm going to do something. And he sent an angel of God down and touched Peter on the side. And when he did, Peter's chains fell off. And all of a sudden, Peter got up, and the angel of the Lord said, come with me quickly. He said, we're out of here, in other words. And so Peter got up, and he went through all of the people and all the guards, and he went through the gates. And when he left out of the gate, the angel departed from him. He went to the house where they were praying, and Rhoda came to the door and thought she saw a ghost or something, because it was Peter standing there knocking on the door. And she went back and she told all the people that were praying, "Oh, ye of little faith." And they were scared. They said, "It can't be Peter. Peter's in prison, and they're over here already praying for God." When you ask God to do something, don't you ever doubt that God won't do it. Hallelujah. And when they finally found out that it was Peter, they began to praise and worship the Lord. Can I tell you tonight that God is not that far away from you? I don't care what you have need of tonight. If you'll hold on to God, God will hear and answer your prayer. They were a praying church. Hallelujah. They prayed with so much faith. They prayed with boldness, the Bible said. Hallelujah. The Bible says that they prayed so fervently that the building was shaken in the place where they were praying. How would you like to come to church down here sometime and you get down to business, say five or six of you, and a dozen you men or a dozen you women, or six men and six women, I don't care who. But just suppose y'all decide, "I think we're going down to the church and we're going to pray for our church. And we're not going to get up until God does something." That's determination. That's what we got to do. And how would you like to be down on your knees about the third day, and all of a sudden you feel this big building start shaking? You know what we'd say? "Oh Lord, we're having an earthquake. We're having an earthquake." You might be, but I guarantee you, be from God. God will do the same for you and I that He did for the disciples and the apostles of old. God has not changed. We have changed. We have gotten so lazy when it comes to praying that it's pathetic. It's bad English, but now that's true. So we need to learn to be a praying church. We need to pray with such boldness that signs and miraculous deeds, unusual events, will begin to take place. And when that happens, church, I'm here to tell you something. You talk about the church getting full, it'll fill up. You'll have to push this thing on out in the parking lot. Because let me tell you, when signs and wonders and healings and miracles and all of these things begin to take place in the house of God, you're not going to stop the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. God will bless over top of a few people that doubt. He will bless. Hallelujah. And I say, God, help us to get to the place when we pray that we'll see the same things happen, same wonders be performed that this church seen then. Can God do it? Yes, He can. Will He do it? Yes, He will. When we get ourselves to where we ought to be with God, that's what it takes. Hallelujah. And then they were a loving church. What is a loving church? A loving church will cause you to share with others. It'll cause you to, it'll enable you to give to those that are in need. It will enable you to put away your differences. You see, we got so many differences in the house of God today. We don't need to be having no differences and schisms and isms and all that stuff. Jesus is getting ready to come for the bride, and we need to have ourselves spotless before Him. We need to love Him. We need to love one another. You say, "Oh, but Sister Wilson, you don't know what so-and-so done." I don't want to know what so-and-so done to you, because I don't care. Get over it. And forgive them and go on and love them. That's what we got to do, because, hey, guess what? You're in the flesh just same as they are. We're still in the flesh. If you don't believe it, just pinch somebody or let them pinch you, and you'll find out you're in the flesh. A lot of folks says, "Well, I'm afraid I'll get in the flesh when I receive the Holy Spirit." Well, you're in the flesh. You just got to let your tongue go and let God be control of your tongue. But you're still going to be in the flesh. I'm pinching. You're still going to feel it. So we need to be a church that is on fire for God. We need to be a church that's a praying church and a loving church. And this kind of love will cause a lot of things to happen. It'll cause a revival to break out in the house of God. Church, we need revival. We don't need a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday revival. We don't need a Wednesday through Sunday revival. I'm talking about we need revival. We need to say, "I'm going to have a revival, brother, and I don't care how long it goes. I don't care if it goes a week. I don't care if it goes 2 or 3 weeks. I don't care if it goes 2 or 3 months, as long as God's in it and souls are being saved." But you see, we won't do that anymore. But that's what we need to do. We need to get back to where we are obedient to the Spirit of God. And we schedule everything. We live by a schedule. Church, home, everything else, we live by a schedule. We've scheduled God out of most of everything. Talk about the world putting God out of everything, wanting to push God out of everything. We've just about scheduled him out of the house of God. It's all right. When they made up our bulletins and I was a pastor, Sister Barbara would put what there in there, and she'd say, unless the Spirit of God changes things. I like that. Because that gives room for the Holy Spirit to move and to work in the house of God. And lastly, they were a church that was not afraid to witness for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, we are, as I said earlier, we are God's hands extended. We are the Lord Jesus' hands extended. The Bible says that they all spake the word with boldness. With great power gave the apostles witness. With great power, with distinguishing characteristic of an apostolic preaching. Did you know preaching's not no good unless it's under the anointing of the Spirit of God? If it's not anointed, you're not going to see a whole lot happen. But you just let God get in the arrangements and let the anointing and the power of God get in the arrangements. And I guarantee you one thing, you'll begin to see something happen in the house of the Lord. It will happen. Absolutely, it will happen. The disciples were aware that they had been sent and that they were commissioned by Jesus Christ himself. They knew that they needed to be empowered with the Holy Ghost. They knew that they had to have the Holy Ghost and to be bold, to preach the Word of God with boldness that was going to be able to convict people of their sins. You see, you and I don't convict people. We can stand up here and talk all night long and all day and into the tomorrow and have a whole house full of sinners, and it ain't going to mean a thing. But you just let somebody get up here and preach under the anointing of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Ghost will go back and he'll do his work all through the congregation. Because that's what it's all about. It ain't about me. It's not about you. It's about him and what he can do. And we can't do anything within ourselves without the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. So we need to be empowered as they were. If they were going to be able to convict men of their sins, they needed to have the power of God in their lives. And that goes for you and I. David Dawson once said, "The silent pew is the curse and a blight of Christianity." When there's nothing coming from the pews and from the pulpit, it's a blight in the eyes of God. So we need to be on fire for God. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, where the Lord commissioned them. He said, "All power is given unto men in heaven and in earth." He said, "I've give you all power," the same power that Jesus had. Now you think about this a minute. The same power that Jesus had when he was here from the Father, he sent back to you and I. He lives and dwells and residence in you and I. And then yet we act like we don't have anything. Or we act like we can't fight the devil. We have power over Satan. Did you know that? I know you know it. We have power over him. We don't have to sit around and let the devil chew on us and eat on us and beat on us. We have power over him through the power of God and the Holy Ghost of God. And this is why he gave them the power. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo," he said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There's times that we feel like sometimes we're all alone. But my friend, can I tell you, you're not alone. If you're a child of God, God is with you always, always. I don't care where you're at. You might be at home. You may be at school. You might be riding your automobile. You may be in a plane going somewhere. You may be in the house vacuum in your house, but God is with you. He is always with you. And with the call to witness in their mind, he said, but they was remembering what Jesus had told them, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Mine and your Jerusalem is not over yonder in Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem's right here around us. Our Judea and our Samaria is around us right here in our community where we live. Yes, some people get called to the mission fields, and that's wonderful. But we can't all go to the mission fields. We can't all be preachers. But we can be witnesses wherever we go and tell people about Jesus Christ. With all this still fresh in their minds, they were all reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know the story, how that there was 3,000 added to the church, 5,000 added to the church daily, the Bible said. They were having revival, church. They were on fire for God because they had just come from the upper room from receiving the Holy Ghost of God. And when we receive the Holy Ghost of God too many times, we just start growing cold and sitting down and getting indifferent. I know every one of you, if I asked you to raise your hand, you'd raise your hand. Can you remember the day the Lord saved you? Do you remember the day the Lord filled you with the Holy Ghost, how happy you were and how excited you were? You wanted to go to church everywhere the church doors was open, and you wanted God just to bless you and the Holy Ghost just to speak through you. And every time you went in church, you thought the Holy Ghost had to just speak through you, and that's okay. We still ought to feel that way. But we don't. We sit around and we moan and we groan and we get cold and indifferent. And that don't mean we're not saved. Don't mean we don't love God. We just allow things to cause us to get cold and indifferent on God. But we shouldn't, church. We should never let anything take the place of the power and the anointing of God in our lives and our prayer life with Jesus Christ. We should always have that foremost in our mind. But they marched ahead, winning the lost at any cost. And I wonder today if the church will ever get back where it's willing to pay the price, to pray and to witness and to love the world. You say, love the world? Yeah, we got to love the world and pray for them. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But we got to love them and pray for them, or we'll never win them to Jesus Christ. So they were a praying church. They were Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Pentecostal. I'm happy that I'm a Pentecostal. As a matter of fact, I look around at some of these churches that don't believe in the Holy Ghost, and I really feel sorry for them because they're missing a blessing from God, sister. They really are. They're missing out on the best thing this side of glory, and that's the power and the anointing of God. I had a Methodist man ask me one time. He used to pastor the Mountain View Methodist Church, and I preached him a revival. And one night I preached on the Holy Ghost, and he'd come to me after church, and he said, sit down here a minute. He said, I got something I need to ask you. And I thought, boy, oh boy, this is my last preaching up here, I'll tell you right now. Went through my mind. And I sat down beside of him, and his name was Brother Ray New. I don't know if any of you ever remembered him or not, but he was a wonderful man of God. He said, I need to ask you something. He said, that was a beautiful message. He said, but do you think I'm saved? I said, brother, if I didn't think you were saved, I wouldn't even bother to come preach for you. He said, well, I don't have that Holy Ghost that you preached about tonight, the power. I don't have that. I said, well, you can. I said, it don't make no difference if you're Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. I don't care who you are. If you want the Holy Ghost, God will give it to you. He said, he really will? I said, yes, sir, he sure will. I said, we're going to pray about that, okay? Well, it wasn't long until he retired, and he moved to Tennessee. And you all know Ed and Marie Holt, probably a lot of you in here. And they went down to visit him and come back and call me. Marie did. She said, guess what? Said, Brother Renew went to a Pentecostal church service and got filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, we got to be witnesses, and you can't clam up just because you find out somebody's Baptist or they're Methodist or they're not your faith. Don't believe in the power of God. You got to be a witness to them. You got to be a witness. I went on a bus trip with my friend some time back. These two ladies on the bus, well, I don't mind to tell you, it was a Baptist church, Brother Sean's church. I went with them on their trip. And this one woman had been on vacation visiting her daughter, and she went with her daughter to church. Her daughter's going to a Pentecostal church. She said, and I heard her telling, they were sitting right up above us, and I heard them talking, and she was telling this lady, she said, we went with them, but she said they were jumping up, talking, testifying, and she said, or whatever they call it, and she said some of them was even speaking some kind of a language. She said, God don't do stuff like it. And the other girl kind of laughed, and she sniggered, and she said, you know, she said, I don't believe in them tongue talkers either. And I, you know what I done? I just reached up and I tapped her on the shoulder. I called her name because I know her real well. I've been with them so much. And I said, let me tell you something. I'm one of those tongue talkers and you know it. And I said, I don't appreciate you talking about them in that fashion. I said, you better be thankful, sister, that your daughter is in a church that loves God and believes in the Holy Spirit of God and believes in the whole Bible. And I sat back in my seat, and my friend looked at me like, whoops, I don't believe you said that. But I said it anyhow. I ain't sat around letting nobody talk about my God and the Holy Ghost. I don't care what church they come out of. They can run me off. They can stop the bus and put me off, and I'll thumb my way back home. Or thumb somewhere and get me a ride. But I'm not setting up letting nobody talk about the Holy Ghost of God. Because if I do, I'm just as bad off as they are. We're to be witnesses about the things of God. And when we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, we need to tell these people that's what they need. They apologized to me later. I said, that's all right. I said, I love God and I love His Spirit. And I said, don't never talk about Him in front of me. I said, because I'm going to warn you about it. And my friend goes there. We've been friends for about 6.5 years. We go out and we eat. And I've done preached to him till I think I done preached him deaf. He can't hear good no way. So. But he hears when I holler. He hears when I talk loud. And I've done told him enough till he knows he won't stand before God and know that it's not real. He's been in church with me and heard me preach, and he knows it's real. But God is good, and we need the church. We need to be a church that is a praying church. We need to have the power of God in our churches today. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have, but we can always have more. We can always have more, because the more we get, the more God blesses. And the more we get, the more power we get. The more we draw closer to God, the more God will draw closer to us. That's what He told us in His Word. He said, draw nigh unto me and say, I'm going to draw nigh to you. He said, you draw nigh unto me, then I'll draw nigh unto you. So He wants us to come to Him. You know, He knows everything we have need of. He knows everything that we have need of. But we're His children, and He wants us to come to Him as our Heavenly Father and tell Him what we have need of. Tell God what it is. Don't just beat around the bush about it. God, I need a new couch, and my couch has got holes in it. You know, or I need a new car, Lord. My car's just whipped all to pieces, and it's about to fall out in the road. You know, and God will bless us, and He will hear our prayers and answer our prayers when He knows it's really a need. But we can come to Him just like we would go to our earthly father. And if we can go to our earthly father, and He loves us, and there ain't a father hardly in the, there's some that's not no count, but that's just a few. But most fathers love their little children, and they're going to give them everything that they can, and especially everything that they need. And how much more will our Heavenly Father give to us? Because He loves us. Would you stand with me, please, as they come to do some music? Father, I just thank You tonight for the scattered words, and thank You for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank You for Your love and for Your mercy, that You're so good to us, Lord. We could stand all day and all night and for weeks on end praising You and honoring You and thanking You for all the good things that You've given unto us. But Lord, tonight, just receive our thanks, because we love You with all of our heart. And Lord, if there's one in the house of God tonight that needs You or needs anything from You, I pray that You would touch them in a very special way tonight. God, that this would be the night that they will find their answer, or find their healing, or find their miracle, or whatever it is that they have need of. Because You're the one that gives all things good to us. In Jesus' name. I wonder tonight if there's anyone that needs prayer. If you need prayer, you come. We'll be glad to pray with you. If you have any kind of need, we'll be glad to pray with you as they go ahead and just do whatever they want to do. And I'll pray with you and agree with you that God will minister to your need. If you have a need tonight, would you come? Go ahead. We'll pray with you.
Praise the Lord. We're just thankful we get to hear the word of the Lord tonight, and we're going to pray and seek Him and His Spirit to be upon us. Thank you to Sister Wilson for coming and for blessing us with the message. We just ask you to keep praying. Believe in God. He said, you know, Jesus even told His disciples, you know, you believe in God, believe in me, and He'll do it. He'll do these things. God is looking. He craves our love. He craves our love, and He is worthy, and we're just so thankful. And I hope you come back. I pray you come back Wednesday. We have Bible study. We're going through the book of Genesis. Brother Eddie, hopefully we'll be here at that time. And we just pray for everyone to be blessed. Heavenly Father, go with each and every person here tonight. I pray that the message will touch their hearts and minds. And go with us, Lord, and help us to seek after you. In Jesus' name, amen.